Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Yes, sir. Def, I feel like we did a great job on the defense side of the ball. Still, you know, things we got to go back in the playbook and get better at. Those little details what matter that makes us great. So if we want to be great, we just got to make sure we just go back in the locker room and take in what the coaches is giving us and then grow from there.
Byron Murphy Jr., one of the stars defensively for the Cardinals yesterday. Not bad for a game-time decision. That was a good decision, I guess. if that was a game-time decision, the decision to play him paid off. He had two interceptions, his first pick six as a pro, biggest swing in that game, and the Cardinals go on to a 31-19 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Cards had not had a two-interception guy or a game from a dude since Antoine Bethea in 2017.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I'd have to look up when their last pick six was. The last one Byron Murphy had, he said, was in the Pac-12 championship game when he was at Washington.
Wow.
In that game, he had an interception and a pick six against Utah.
Okay.
The phone number, 602-260-9870. We do it on Mondays following wins, following losses on Big Red Monday. Let's start out in Gilbert. Tom is up first on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be part of a show that I could be splashed, booted, blasted, and schooled all in 4 hours.
Well done.
Sounds like a University of Arizona degree program for some reason. You guys hit on some of the things that I wanted to talk about, so I won't rehash it. I thought the biggest faux pas that the team and coaching staff did was on a fourth down play where they lined up the punt. They ran the play clock all the way down, took the delay of game penalty, and then showed what would have been maybe one of the best punter passes ever. If you're going to run that play, then you run that play and you don't take the delay of game penalty. If you're going to run it or show it or you want to see what they're going to show, you take a timeout, which, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury actually had timeouts yesterday, which I thought was amazing. But then you run that fake punt play, you show that, and now it's on tape for everybody to see. We don't win this game coming up if we play like that. But, again, no apologies. 3-0 and in first place in their own division. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. On the subject, Tom hit on it there, and it certainly was a part of that fake punt play that got botched and ended up in a delay of game. But the Cardinals, and I've seen tweets to this as well, they are up near the leaders in the NFL in time of possession. And some people believe in time of possession as a stat. Other people will thumb their nose at it a bit. But this whole thought that the Cardinals are constantly running pace
is,
and they're snapping the ball at this breakneck
speed. So right.
Yesterday it was even more pronounced than I've seen earlier in the year. The Cardinals just completely milking the play clock and constantly snapping with 1 or 2 seconds left on the play clock, which, again, they're getting away with it, but it just flies in the face of this national perspective.
You're
that
so
the,
right
the Cardinals
that.
Are, you know, flying on offense, which is not the case.
There was the one play on that very pivotal drive by the Cardinals in which they caught Jacksonville with too many guys on the field. But for the most part, that idea that they are pushing pace and making teams it's not true.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yep.
You're right.
602-260-9870 is the phone number. George in Tempe is up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, George.
Well, the preseason is over, so let the regular season begin.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, all we have to do is go 500, and we're 10-7. Think about that. We go 7-7. So I'm feeling okay about things, even though the last three games were a little sketchy. You know, it amazes me. I think I got a little bit of PTSD. I think everybody else did watching that run back. You know, everybody's flashing back to the Super Bowl. But the thing that concerns me is at this point, I'm not worried about the secondary, but the front seven are suspect on their bingo card. That's a problem for me, and I don't think they're playing very consistently. And as you guys have been talking about for the last hour, you know, Cliff's play calling is still really, really odd. It's really sketchy. It's not consistent. I don't get it. And I don't have a problem with kicking a long field goal, but it could have been 60 yards or 55 yards if the play calling at the end of the half were a little better.
Yes,
so we've got work to do.
Yep.
Good call.
Very good call.
Yeah. I like the way you put it. The preseason's over. The regular season begins now. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect the Cardinals to be 3-0 through three games. Kind of could paint a scenario where they were 2-1, but the level of competition steps up big time. I mean, yeah. The Los Angeles Rams, and I fought against this, and we'll get a lot into it this week. I fought against this Matthew Stafford as a major, major upgrade over Jared Goff, because I thought Jared Goff had played pretty well as the Rams quarterback. But so far through three games, everybody who said that is exactly right. There's a different element with Matthew Stafford with that team.
And I was one of those dudes, because I've been to Detroit watching him play football many times, and he's got an elite arm talent. And now that passing game is vertical. And DeSean Jackson's been reborn there with him.
We were joking in one of the commercial breaks, or our show meeting. It seems like he's been in the league for 25 years.
Yeah.
And he's still fast.
It is.
Let's continue on the phones. Frank's in Phoenix. He's up next on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Frank.
Gentlemen, good morning. Long-time caller, first-time listener. How you been?
Frank!
It was so nice seeing you guys Friday night. Your son's so talented. And, you guys have the best-looking morning show probably in the history of Phoenix Radio. So,
thank you, Frank.
It's a high bar.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, Dan. The check already cleared. So, you guys were fantastic. I think at one point I was really, really concerned watching the game. And is their running game really that good, Jacksonville? I don't think so. What's going to happen when they run? I mean, they stepped up against the Titans. Do the Rams have much of a running game? I don't know. But, man, 49ers, I know all their running backs are banged up right now, but don't they have three or four good ones? Yeah, I'm really concerned about this team against the run. There's the way to really beat and really eliminate Kyler Murray from a game is to keep him on the sidelines.
Yep.
If there's a team that just runs up and down the field against them, I have a feeling that could be a long afternoon for the Cardinals. Hey, great show, guys. Talk to you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. We've got time for a couple more. Let's go to Phoenix. Talk to Daniel, who's up next here on Big Red Monday. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Wonderful, wonderful. I just want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
Listen to it every morning on my way to work and appreciate all day that while I'm driving. But I think my concern is just, it even really didn't happen this much at the end of the game versus Jacksonville. That kicker last week when he missed that field goal really saved Cliff Kingsbury from being criticized about his clock management at the end of games. And I still have yet to see us really install that running game towards the end of games as well, to where we can actually run the clock down. I don't think we got a problem scoring points towards, the first three quarters of the game. My concern is using those big guys that we have, the strong offensive line, and us running it down people's throat at the end of the game to close it out. So those are my only concerns. Everything else seems pretty good. Thank you guys for hearing me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. One more call. I'll go all the way to Alabama for this call.
Wow.
David is up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. It's good to call in for your show. First time calling in this show. I call in Wolf and Luke all the time. But
cool.
I want to mention a couple of thoughts that I had. Very positive takeaway from the game, a couple of them, is doesn't really matter, and we all say this, it doesn't really matter how you win, it's as long as you get the win, because you don't look at it at the end and say, it was a great win, it was a weak win, whatever, it doesn't really matter. There are obviously some things to be concerned about, and I believe they can and will fix those things. But I told Jarrett and I told guys at the end of the game, I can't even remember what is the Arizona talk at the end of the
post-game show.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told them the same thing, is that I didn't believe that they would be 3-0 at this point. And Vince, you just mentioned it. I didn't believe they would be 3-0, maybe 2-1. I definitely didn't think they would have a better record than Kansas City. And that's a kind of a big takeaway for me, that they have better record than some of these surefire playoff teams. And now, Kansas City, they're dead last in their division.
Yeah, it's crazy. David, thanks for the phone call all the way from Alabama. Yeah, the Chiefs are a story unto themselves right now. They really should be 0-3 at this point. You can build a strong case that they should be 0-3.
The Browns had them in week one, and Baker Mayfield, real bad interception, kind of turned that thing around. But you're right.
A punter dropping a ball.
That too.
On a perfect snap.
Yeah.
But to David's point, there is a little bit of an element with a 3-0 record that the Cardinals are playing with house money. Now, they got to fight against that temptation. They got to fight against that feeling moving forward because things get tough next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Certainly very tough with the Rams and the 49ers. And I was impressed with the 49ers coming back last night. They got down 17 to Green Bay, and they fought back in that game and actually took the lead.
Yeah, that was, lost in that game was a big moment for Jimmy Garoppolo because we had talked about what a big stage it was for him. And there were a couple of times down the stretch when you saw Kyle Shanahan kind of like rolling his eyes on the sideline. For him to come up with that touchdown pass and put that team ahead was a big deal for him.
Yep. Thanks for all the phone calls on this Big Red Monday, which continues. We'll get more into Kyler Murray's performance. He's 3-0 as a starting quarterback this year, but ... We'll tell you what that is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
I think, it's to the point where nothing really has to be said because that's how, that's how confident this group is. That's how mature that, the growth is there, everybody understands it, but I'm proud of the guys, the way we fought today. It was ugly, but, we got it.
Yeah, sometimes you could love those ugly wins, too. That's Kyler Murray after the Cardinals' 12-point win over Jacksonville. And, I mean, again, that's one of the takeaways I had, Bick, was it was less than a clean, stellar performance by the Cardinals. They did a lot of things good. Kyler Murray, among them, was efficient outside of the one pick, and we'll get into that. But the fact that they could play that poorly for stretches of the game, be dominated in the run game the way they were by Jacksonville, especially on one drive, be on the road in an early East Coast game and still win by 12 points. It's a testament to them, but you cannot eliminate the Jacksonville Jaguars factor. The Jaguars are going to Jaguar, and they did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Most NFL teams are not going to find a way to lose that game by double digits.
No, you're right. So this is why BA used to always say that you can learn a lot. You learn more from victories than you do from defeats. Because say the Cardinals lost that game, it would be hard to implement any lessons at all, given the pressure they would be under. You could only imagine the noise around here had they lost to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been fire Kingsbury, same old Cardinals,
exactly.
Can't trust this team, all that stuff. Wasted opportunities. So now there's none of that noise. There's all right, we got that. And so you've got a quiet, calm environment in which you can actually successfully get better. So that I think you're right. I think there's a real mixed bag coming out of yesterday. I thought the Cardinals started the game very well yesterday. They looked focused. They were moving the ball. It looked like their offense was in rhythm from the very start of the game. We haven't seen that often. But then they kind of hit a lull, and they didn't build on that. And I agree, the rush defense is a problem with this team, and the best way to avoid that problem going forward is get ahead of these teams.
Absolutely. Which, that wasn't the case for a good portion of the game yesterday, and it was kind of Jacksonville flexing with the lead at that point. And one of our callers brought up the fact that, hey, through three games, if you would have told him, be concerned about the defensive line in terms of defending the run and not be concerned about the corners. And yesterday you had two corners going into that game that had injury issues in Wilson and Murphy, and they look pretty buttoned up in pass coverage, but that,
except for that one touchdown pass that Trevor Lawrence found a Chark in the back of the end zone.
Great. I mean,
Marco Wilson got lost on that play.
He got lost a little
around,
bit.
He mistimed his jump.
But it still had to be a very good throw and, and a great play by Chark to get his feet down for that to count. And they made those plays. But overall, I'm more concerned about the run defense right now.
Yeah. And I think whether it's by accident or not, you've got look at the receiving numbers for the Arizona Cardinals. Chase Edmonds, 16 receptions through three games. Christian Kirk, 15. Rondale Moore, 13. A.J. Green, 10. Max Williams, 10. DeAndre Hopkins, 13. Who would have thought that?
DeAndre Hopkins had 14 catches in his first game last year against San Francisco. He's got 13 through three games.
He's been targeted 18 times. Same with A.J. Green, 17 to Christian Kirk, 15 to Rondale Moore, 17 to Chase Edmonds. So that's five guys in the passing game who have all got about the same amount of targets.
Yeah. The people that are upset about this are DeAndre Hopkins fantasy owners because he had 21 yards and three catches yesterday. Yeah. We don't know what he was like in terms of his health. He was a game-time decision as well, and he was able to go.
But they started off the game throwing to him.
Yes, like they did against Minnesota, and then they went away from him.
Was it, you think, almost to like try to prove to Jacksonville, okay, he's ready to go, he's healthy, you better watch out.
Maybe.
When he actually maybe wasn't?
But
maybe it got worse as the game went on?
Maybe. Big picture is the Cardinals have the depth at the wide receiver spot was talked about going into the season. They've exploited it. They've got different guys that can beat you every week. I mean, how many guys have had 100-yard games? I think there's been three 100-yard receivers for the Cardinals. DeAndre Hopkins isn't one of them, and he's one of the best receivers in the game. Cliff Kingsbury talked about adding more weapons around Kyler Murray and how that's paid off.
It's huge, and Steve Kimes has done a tremendous job of building this around him, you know, progressing each year so far. And when you have guys like you add guys like A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins and Rodney Hudson, that definitely makes my job easier commonplace.
Yeah, and A.J. Green, 5 for 112 yesterday, 36-yard catch. He had what a lot of people thought was the game sealer on that that third down. The first third down conversion the Cardinals had in the game was a long pass to A.J. Green, which was not really a great throw by Kyler Murray. Left it way short, and A.J. Green kind of boxed out the defender and made the play.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyler Murray, again, those numbers, 28 of 34, his highest single game percentage in completions ever. But he still threw that one weird pick.
Yeah, and listen, this is the evolution, Vinny, of Kyler Murray. This is the evolution. This is the last step, and that is being patient when you have a clean pocket and not looking for the home run play. And it's really nothing more than just impatience. He's accustomed to making highlight reel big impact plays,
mm-hmm.
and it takes seasoning to dink and dunk when you need to.
Yes.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Rubber game of a three-game series at Chase Field yesterday. D-backs and Dodgers, and thankfully for the Diamondbacks, the last time they'll see the Dodgers this year. It's been pretty one-sided. And it was yesterday, too. Not a ton of highlights, but a lot of them are going to sound the same. Solo home runs from the Dodgers, including this one in the first from Corey Seager.
There's a high fly ball to left. Going back onto this Peralta at the wall, and it is gone. Opposite field home run, Corey Seager.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of these are going to sound the same. The hit parade continued.
Now the batter with two out or one out is Turner, and he hits one to left. He hit that one pretty well. Peralta looks up, and this one's out of here. Back to back, and that's three homers down, two ball games for Trey Turner, and it's 2-0 LA.
Yeah, Trey Turner's been a good addition for the Dodgers. So 2-0 at that point. D-backs unable to muster really anything resembling offense. And then once again, another solo shot. This one in the third. Again, Corey Seager.
And Seager now goes yard the other way. So he's homered deep to left field. Now he's homered to deep right field. And it's 3-0 Dodgers.
That's the way it would end. Julio Urias, very quietly, has won 19 games this year for the Dodgers. 19-3 with a 3.01 ERA.
He's the fifth best pitcher on the Dodgers.
Yeah, he and the bullpen shut down the D-backs. Jansen got the save. D-backs now, Bic, 50-106. Six games remaining.
Yeah.
And they want to avoid the dubious distinction of the worst record in franchise history. And they got six tough games left. Three at San Francisco and then three next weekend against Colorado.
Yeah. So they basically just have to win one game to tie, two games to avoid it entirely?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Imagine that celebration.
I'm ambivalent. I know they don't want to wear it.
It's cosmetic at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, we'll be watching a little bit to see what Baltimore does this last week of the season, too, because of that that first pick being in the balance next June. But Dodgers finish up 16-3 in the 19 against the D-backs this year.
And the Giants were they're not done with the Giants yet.
Starting three more starting tomorrow.
That's right. Okay.
And that's been no cakewalk for the D-backs either.
No.
There you go. There's D-backs Daily. Rush Hour Reboot coming up. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
All right. Happy Victory Monday, everybody. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, taking you through the Rush Hour Reboot. The biggest stories of the day. Or of yesterday, as we relive the Cardinals' win over the Jaguars. So let's start off with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray both making similar comments after yesterday's win. They said, hey, last year's Cardinals team would not have come back from the mistakes made yesterday and won that game. They would not have pulled it off. Here is Kingsbury post-game.
Yeah, I'd say the last 2 years we wouldn't have been walking out of here with a W. So I think we're growing up. We brought in some great veteran leadership that really doesn't blink in adverse situations, and we know we got a lot of improving to do prior to next week playing our division and the LA Rams, so we'll get back to work and we got to get better.
All right, do you guys agree with that assessment that last year's team or the years prior would not have won yesterday's game? And if you do, what do you see that has changed?
I think that's a very convenient thing to say, you know, and I'm not exactly sure what it means.
Okay.
But I do think that there was enough poise on that team from the head coach to the quarterback to not panic and to get it done. And that's maybe what they're speaking of, that they didn't have that kind of maturity last year.
Yes.
To me, though, there was still, I mean, that bad interception Kyler Murray threw was right after that. So it was like they were chasing the game at one point, but he calmed himself down. So I guess the answer is yes, I agree with it, although it's very cliche to say that.
Yeah, that's a perfect synopsis. Convenience is a great word. The Cardinals should feel that way. It does. You know, and they're very good at messaging, starting at the top and trickling through, permeating through the locker room. So if they have that belief, that's a good thing. But I also think it's somewhat convenient, again, to use Bick's word, to completely eliminate the opponent, quality of opponent from that particular thinking. And you have to, because maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars of years past wouldn't have found a way to lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To your point, Dan, I believe maturity is a word that Kyler Murray used when he was saying, hey, we wouldn't have won that game in the past. So I think you're onto that, onto something there. A questionable move to many yesterday when Matt Prater went out and attempted a 68-yard field goal just before halftime, which, of course, fell short and was returned 109 yards for a touchdown by Jacksonville.
That was, yeah. I mean, he has plenty of leg, and unfortunately it didn't work out this time, but we trust Matt, and we're going to give him opportunities.
What I should have said before clicking that was Kingsbury was asked if the 62-yard field goal by Prater influenced the decision. So here's Kingsbury again.
The Rams might be the
Nope, that's Keyshawn Johnson. We are
what
really
is going
killing
on
it here?
Here.
I don't know.
That
shut
was,
up,
yeah.
Jared.
I mean,
shut
he
up,
has
Jared.
Plenty of leg, and unfortunately, it didn't work out this time, but we trust Matt, and we're going to give him opportunities.
Okay, there it is. So, yes, Kingsbury, third time's a charm, saying, yeah, when he made the 62-yarder, we decided, well, maybe he can do 68. What one word would you both use to describe that decision to go for it?
Whoops.
That's good. I'm stealing that word. That's the word. That's the word.
Yeah, whoops. Whoops is a good
That's
one.
That's a good way.
Not
like
only
that.
Do you not make the field goal, you give up a touchdown and you get a starting offensive lineman blown up on the play and he missed the rest of the game. I mean, it could just that one play could not have gone worse.
Would you go so far as to call it reckless? Or would you
I
stop
would.
Short of that?
Yeah, no. I would call it reckless. And again, it's... I wouldn't have thought that had the Auburn-Alabama play never come to existence. But that play, again, illustrated just how vulnerable you are in that situation.
Watch.
Because you've got a bunch of big, heavy offensive linemen on the field who don't tackle people.
Nope.
Did you notice, too, on that play, maybe I was just looking at something weird. The long snapper, Aaron Brewer, was so far down the field He was like the first.
Wasn't that bizarre?
It was strange.
There was a grouping of three Cardinal players like down over here, and the play was way to the right. It was, yeah. They didn't.
But I don't know why he charged so far upfield.
Again, if you're going to try a field goal like that and you see the other team's got a guy waiting to return it,
yes.
You got to make sure that you're going down in lanes. You better know what you're doing in that situation. It just seemed like they were grab bagging.
I wonder if that's something they practice. Why would you devote time to a play that's such an anomaly? So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seeing Agnew just standing there and waiting just gave me a little uh-oh feeling in my stomach. And
yeah,
sure enough.
Yep.
The Cardinals now start looking ahead to the Rams, their week four opponent in Los Angeles this weekend. The Rams beat the Bucs yesterday, the reigning Super Bowl champs, and ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson. He says he's starting to think the Rams are the best team in the NFL. Here he is.
The Rams might be the team in the National Football League right now. Just overall, from Cooper Kupp to Robert Woods to Matthew Stafford to clear air. People should just quit when they got to block Aaron Donald. Just quit. Tell him y'all going to give him some extra money to just stand there.
Okay. Who do you guys think is the best team through 3 weeks right now?
I don't know, but I want to say something completely outlandish. I am also starting to think that the Rams might be good.
They just beat the Super Bowl champions who were undefeated.
I mean, I'm not totally convinced
and they're
yet,
undefeated.
And they remain
I'm
undefeated.
I'm starting to move in that direction that they could be good.
Okay, but would you make him the best team?
I really want to just go off on Keyshawn right now and just talk about how he was talking out of both sides of his mouth this morning in terms of Matt Nagy, but we don't have to. Do we have time right now?
Only this morning? Yes, yeah. We do have time.
Well, he said very impassionedly that he and Dan Orlovsky could have come up with a better game plan than Matt Nagy did for Justin Fields. That this guy had 159 days to prepare for the debut of Justin Fields, and what they did was basically get him destroyed by the Browns defense. So he's saying that we could have done this. We could have walked. And so Dan Orlovsky said, well, Matt Nagy should lose his job. And Keyshawn disagreed with that, even though he said two guys doing a radio show could have come up with a better plan.
Yes.
How hypocritical is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what, he just wants to be a consultant or something?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. But talking out of both sides of his mouth is not limited to...
Right, with great conviction on both sides.
Sorting. Yeah.
How else do you talk? Everybody talks. If you talk out of one side of your mouth, you're like Buddy Hackett.
No, you're like Clint Eastwood. Stripes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we can find enough examples. Okay, so who do we think is the best team in the league through 3 weeks?
If I was doing power rankings, the Rams would be my number one team.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I agree with that. Someday you can't put the Chiefs there any longer.
Right.
People are putting them at number one with one loss, not now.
No. You can't pull that off anymore. And then finally, let's quickly move to college football. ASU opened up Pac-12 play with a win over Colorado, 35-13 on Saturday. Here is Herm Edwards after that win.
I think this was a pretty complete game for us from the start to the finish. We knew playing this team, they were a good defense. It was going to be hard to move the ball, but we were steady, and we were able to score points, which is always good.
Herm Edwards says this was a complete game for us. Do you think this was the most complete game for ASU this year? Is ASU getting things figured out, or was it just, Colorado?
It was the most complete game for ASU of the year, but they have three wins against three horrible football teams. So take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
I was, when we left the airwaves Friday, I was counting on a much more dominant performance. They won by 22 points. But it wasn't the one-sided route that I thought it was going to be. And I think there's still questions, a lot of questions offensively about Arizona State. Jaden Daniels played well. I thought their running game would just be way more dominant than it's been. Outside of quarterback scrambling, Rashad White's been bottled up. He's scoring a lot of touchdowns, but he's not getting a lot of yards. And getting into the tougher part of your schedule, I think that's a concern because this team is based on its run game.
Mm-hmm. All that being said, they're playing for first place in the South this weekend. So there you go.
Yes, they are.
They can prove it against UCLA.
Shout out to the Pac-12 South.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. If I were an ASU fan, I think I still wouldn't have been all that excited about that win. But a win is a win. So I guess you take it.
I felt pretty similarly after all three wins.
Yeah.
And after the one loss, the chunks of my hair were missing.
Oh, gosh. Get that taken care of.
Well, it was so it wasn't just falling out like normal. It was me pulling it out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
We're rebooted. Rush Hour reboot every morning here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. We'll talk some more Cardinals. Howard Balzer from SI.com. All Cardinals joins us straight ahead. It is Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios on this Big Red Monday. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
That Big Red Monday rolls on. Cardinals win for the third straight week, 3-0 their record, 31-19 over Jacksonville. Now it's on to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Here to talk more Cardinals with us from SI.com, the publisher of their All Cardinals site. Howard Balzer, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Howard, good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Great to be with you guys.
There's a lot of talk, and the Cardinals use this terminology that they didn't feel like that was a game in years past that they win. With the adversity that popped up, even though a lot of it was self-created, I think that's a little bit convenient to call it that when you consider the quality of the opponent. I mean, what is your thought on all of that, Howard?
I'm with you on that to a degree. And, of course, you always get these kind of pronouncements and ways of looking at things. But, hey, the first thing I thought of last year was the game against Seattle, the home game, the Sunday night game, where the Seahawks offense just went through the Cardinals like Swiss cheese in the first half. And it looked like that game had no chance. But the Cardinals offense hung in there and didn't let the game get out of hand, and then dominated the game in the second half, and, of course, won. So to say that this was a – now, granted, that was a home game. I get that. But like you said, I mean, to say that this was a game that might have been lost last year, who knows? I mean, it's tough to put your finger on that. But I do think, having said that, that there does seem to be a little better feeling among this team and maturity and all those things that – they can overcome adversity, but like you pointed out, it's a little bit easier to overcome adversity against a team that played hard but just isn't that talented. Let's save all those evaluations for the next 3 weeks and see where we are in about a month after, you know, playing the Rams, the 49ers, and the Browns.
When I look at the Cardinal defense, they've been alternately really good in physical and really bad at stopping the run. What do you make of the state of the front seven on defense?
Yeah, it's a great question because we saw that obviously what happened the game one with Derrick Henry. Then we saw last week when Dalvin Cook just went through the defense pretty easily in the first half, but there were the adjustments in the second half and it was a lot better. We saw yesterday where James Robinson couldn't do anything in the first half, and then all of a sudden that one drive, it was as if, well, where's the run defense now when the Jaguars went down the field and scored that touchdown, and he was going for 10 and 11 and a 21-yard run. It stopped after that a little bit, but, of course, part of the reason it stopped was after the interception on the next possession by Byron Murphy Jr. So, sometimes, I mean, you hear Vance Joseph talk about gap integrity and all those things, and that's a big part of it. But I think sometimes we all get caught up in, wow, they did this now. Why is it changing? And I think it's probably true of a lot of teams. We don't watch a lot of other teams as closely as we do the Cardinals. And it's just the nature of football a lot of times. You strive for consistency, but it's very hard to accomplish in this league. And so, but it's something that has to get better, obviously. You need that consistency, especially against the run, if you're going to keep good offenses off the field. But once again, the Cardinals were good on third down. Their problem seems to be in drives and possessions when the other team moves down the field and doesn't even get to third down, which was the case against Minnesota in week two, where the three offensive touchdowns the Vikings had, they never got to third down on any of those possessions. So, you know, that's a key to be able to try to control that.
Howard Balzer from the SI.com All Cardinals site, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Kyler Murray was very good again, set a single game high for completion percentage, only five passes hit the ground. But that sixth one was another pick from a clean pocket where Kyler threw into double coverage, and I'm not sure what he was seeing there, but That's three straight weeks of what you could term bad interceptions from Kyler Murray. How much of a concern do you think that is for the Cardinals right now?
Well, I think it is a concern because I think you're probably not going to be able to get away with those things against better teams. And he has four interceptions now, and the only guys in the league with more are Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So and then Joe Burrow of Cincinnati has four. So it's not a huge number yet, but if that continues, you're going to be looking at a pretty big number by the end of the season. So I think, when Cliff Kingsbury was asked about it last week, he said, hey, he's going to be aggressive. He's going to do those things. And I guess sometimes you have to live with those because of the big plays he makes at other times. But those can be game-changing plays, obviously. And you just have to be more consistent on it. I mean, I think he only had 12 interceptions all last season. Mm-hmm. And here he is with four after only three games. So I think that's something that definitely has to get better.
What'd you think of the 68-yard field goal attempt at the end of the first half, Howard?
Man, afterward, when they return it for a touchdown, why in the world did you do that? And of course, it is one of those things when you do that you don't exactly have guys that are the greatest tacklers in the world out there or who can get down the field tremendously quickly. So I can see giving him a shot. Heck, it was pretty darn close to making it. And then, of course, we see Justin Tucker make one from 66 yards to win the game for the Ravens. So in hindsight, maybe it wasn't such a great idea. And on top of that, Justin Pugh gets hurt on the play and doesn't play the second half. So maybe that's something to look at a little differently going forward. But, a quick point on Pugh going out. I mean, I think this is one thing that maybe you guys have been talking about it already, but it hasn't been talked about enough, is how that Cardinals offense played in the second half when they had Max Garcia in there and Sean Harlow at left guard. I mean, Sean Harlow, you know how many snaps that guy has played in the NFL prior to this?
No,
how many? One.
Wow.
One. He had one snap with Atlanta in 2019, but those guys came in and played pretty well in the second half.
Yeah.
And so the one thing it was also strange to me, guys, that they flipped and Justin Murray and Josh Jones, and instead of playing Jones where he's been playing the first two games, they moved him to right tackle and had Justin Murray at right guard to start the game. So that was a little unusual, and no one asked Cliff Kingsbury about that after the game, but you can be sure that he'll be asked about that later today.
I'm sure. And I want to stay on the offensive line, because you mentioned Harlow. It was weird because it was Saturday transactions that happened the day before the game, and Harlow gets elevated from the practice squad. Brian Winters gets released, and there was a time not too long ago, Howard, where the Cardinals were raving about having a depth guy like Brian Winters to press, and Cliff Kingsbury yesterday said after the game, the Brian Winters thing just didn't work out, and they cut him. Is there any more insight on what didn't work out there?
It's a little mysterious, because let's remember, he showed up on the injury report mysteriously Friday, is not practicing, with a personal issue. So you start to wonder if maybe he's not real pleased with his role with the team. So don't know that. It's total speculation, but it is kind of strange that happened. He played 16 snaps total in the first two games, and so it was a little surprising, like you said, to see him released on a Saturday, of all things, the day before a game. And Harlow, by the way, he was signed to the roster. It wasn't an elevation. So he was signed to the roster from the practice squad, and it turned out, I guess, to be a pretty good move. And he played a lot. That's the one thing, when Justin Pugh was out with COVID, and, of course, we know the preseason is the preseason, but he did get a lot of snaps during the summer, and DJ Humphreys referenced that after the game, that he was pretty comfortable with him because he'd been next to him for a bunch of snaps, at least when Humphreys was out there during the preseason. So, but it was very strange with Winters, and obviously now they're moving on.
And that makes two strange cases when you throw in the Malcolm Butler thing. Now, speaking of cornerbacks, how do you think that secondary is looking to you after three games?
I think it's looking as good as any of us could have expected. Obviously, Marco Wilson is young, but he hangs in there. He's tough. The moment doesn't seem big to him. He did have the injury from last week, and yet he played every snap yesterday, along with Byron Murphy Jr. on defense, and Alford is kind of like the third corner now in terms of the way the snaps are being apportioned. So as long as those three guys stay healthy, it looks like they're in pretty good shape And of course, the pass rush is so important, obviously, the cornerback play. But, you know, they've been hanging in there and playing pretty tough defense, I think. And, of course, last week they got pretty good play from Antonio Hamilton when Wilson went out of the game. So it looks like at least some of their depth pieces are looking like guys that can help if need be.
Yep. Howard, thanks so much for the time. As always, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Howard Balzer, allcardinalssi.com. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Halfway through this Big Red Monday, Bick will kick off the second half of it next with the blast. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.